Ladies and gentlemen, Sunday has gone and passed. Thursday has gone and passed. All we are left with is Monday Night Football. Welcome back to the Armchair GMs, your mama's favorite fantasy show. We're here today to mourn some things and to lift some things up. But before we get to that, let me introduce you to my amazing co-host, Tommy Twinkle Toes Tallarino, the resident number one Patriots superfan. Tommy, I'm sorry you guys had a tough week one, but fantasy football, we're back. We kicked it off and the season has started. So let's be happy, baby, even if our team's underperformed.
Which ones? I mean, I got all of them on my shit list right now. Right now, it's looking like we won 1 week, or one team out of four teams is come walking away with a W. Hopefully two. We never know. But it is what it is, I guess.
Hey, we kicked off, Tommy. I don't know if I don't know what you were doing yesterday. I'm assuming you watched a little bit of football, a little bit of that American pigskin. They were throwing it around. And, you know, it was a pretty phenomenal day. I love football, you know. It's just every Sunday knowing that I know what my plans are going to be, you know. It's the one day a week I know what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything. I'm being a couch potato for 12 hours.
Yes. I mean, let's see. I got up at 10, did some things I needed to do for school and work. And then from like 12 o'clock to 9:30 at night, I sat in the same exact place the whole day. I sunk into the couch.
And, you know, it's fantasy football is just a movie, you know. It gives you a wide variety of emotions. I was very happy when my team was scoring. I was very sad most of the day when they weren't scoring. So, it's a good outlet, you know.
for
the 17 weeks that we get it. But, Tommy, week one, it's pretty much done and over with. We've got Russell Wilson versus the Seattle Shitbirds. Monday Night Football, but we'll get to that at the end of this episode. Tommy, let's hear some week one overreactions. I'll start you off because we share this common one. There was a game played in Chicago. I didn't know if you could tell. I couldn't tell. As a 49ers fan, I couldn't really figure out what was going on the field. Soldier Field was the site of a monsoon. I mean, it was a downpour, torrential downpour. And some people in the fantasy community and in the NFL community in general, just football fans, they're ready to label these two young, talented quarterbacks, Trey Lance and Justin Fields, as bust.
It's 1 week, baby. It's 1 week. Can we give them more than one game in a hurricane, please? I mean, come on. Trey Lance has started, what, one or two games before this?
Yeah, three, I think.
Three? I mean, it's the first time he probably played in a torrential downpour, and it showed. I mean, the Niners didn't really help him that much in the game. And Justin Fields, I mean, he's playing for the Bears. What do you want him to do? What else is there? I mean, you said it best last week. I'll have you take it away about Chicago Bears. Or yesterday when you texted me.
Listen, man, they got Fields. They may have Justin, but they sure as hell don't have no Fields.
That's
not a field.
That's not a football field.
It was a water slide.
That's worse than MetLife.
Tommy, I just, you know, I watched the game, obviously. I had it pulled up on my phone. I had Red Zone on Sunday Ticket, and I had the Niners game on my phone. I mean, there's no overreaction. There's no reaction that you should have coming out of that game other than, God, yeah. Soldier Field and the Chicago weather are just terrible, and why would anyone live in the city? Justin Fields got all of his points on two blown coverages. And Trey Lance, I mean, admittedly, he didn't look good, right? Neither of them looked good. But as you said, the 49ers offense did this man no favors, and He admitted in the post-game press conference he made some mistakes and he missed some key throws. I don't think they have a Trey Lance problem. Fantasy-wise, I'm still high on all the guys in that offense. I still think he's going to unlock another key. I'm still high on both of these guys. Trey Lance, I have him on the borderline. He's around my QB 14 right now. And Justin Fields, he's right behind him. I have my QB 16. I'm not changing that any for the season-long outlook. I think they still are right there. These guys have weekly QB 1 upside with their legs. And, I mean, I feel like if you're overreacting, if you're a Trey Lance owner or a Justin Fields owner in a 2 QB league, it's rough. I have them both. I know it was not pretty, but it's okay. There's going to be games like this, hopefully in better conditions, but the weekly upside is still high with both of these guys.
It can't get worse than it did last week.
Exactly.
It can't.
Now, you know, if Justin Fields and Trey Lance are playing him, you know, 75 and sunny, and they score 3 points, then, you know, we might have a problem. But as of right now, we move. We move, people. Go ahead.
I mean, I think you hit everything on the head. Like you said, they can both use their legs. That's automatically their non-drop. Shouldn't be overreacting. Literally, Justin Fields had to wear 2 gloves this whole game. I mean, did anyone see the field during the game that's overreacting? What did they want them to do? Go out there, throw for 300 yards each against, I mean, Justin Fields, he's going against a San Fran defense who is still pretty good in no matter what weather they're playing in.
And you know, it's more of the Trey Lance owners that are panicking because, you know, like I said, Justin Fields is more of a QB2. He's, you know, super flex, 2 quarterback leagues. But Justin Fields managed to beat the 49ers defense, like you just said. And they gave him help for sure with the penalties, but I mean, in a mud ball monsoon, I mean, they put up 19, which is not good, but they're able to grind out a win with some busted coverages, which fantasy points are fantasy points, people. We're not talking about actual football here. We're talking about fantasy football. I don't think Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback. I know he's a damn good fantasy quarterback. You know, we're dealing with 2 different realms here.
We're talking about fantasy, people.
We're talking about fantasy football. And Tommy, there's another NFC offense that people are shitting on this week. It's Green Bay.
Yeah.
People are overreacting to this Green Bay offense. Here's my take. I don't give a damn. You have Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen play. In my eyes, outside of Peyton Manning, he's the best regular season quarterback there has ever been. The issue, Tommy, and you can confirm this and corroborate this. It's me and you playing wide receiver. I mean, Alan Lazard was out, ankle thing. Some offensive lineman rolled over on it or something. Tommy, how did you feel watching this game? To me, like I said, they're overreacting. They think it's going to be a bust. I saw AJ Dillon got really solid work. AJ Dillon, it looks like he's going to have top 15, top 16 upside every week with the way they used him. I think the overreaction is coming from Aaron Jones owners a lot and how bad Aaron Jones got used. I think he only had, 8, 9 touches in the game.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
But we both know Aaron Jones is going to get used. I mean, they have no choice but to. The one reaction I have from this week is that Christian Watson is not an NFL caliber wide receiver yet. But he is the perfect replacement for Marquez Valdes-Scantling because they both can't catch and they both can't run anything but a straight line. So
I was just about to say they're track stars, baby. I mean, coming into week one, Aaron Rodgers said it himself, like these young guys need to step up. And they didn't. We saw, I believe it was Watson, wide open.
I mean, passes right there.
Just drops
wide open. Yep.
And for me, watching that game, I was like, this team's still figuring out what to do without Davante Adams.
Yep.
I mean, look at what he did in Vegas. It was the exact same what he did in Green Bay. I mean, they're going to have to figure out, okay, what do we do now with no Davante Adams? We have these 2 great running backs who can both, I believe, be in the pass game. Yeah. I think they can both be utilized in the pass game very well when you have receivers like Watson, Dobbs, who aren't going to step up when Lazard, who knows how long he's going to be out. It's an ankle injury. Ankle injuries, you never know with a receiver.
And, you know, like you said, they can both be used in the pass game. And, you know, I think the reactions and the correct takes you should take out of this were Aaron Jones was underutilized. That can't happen again. Matt LaFleur already said that, though. So he's already confirmed what Aaron Jones' owners are thinking. It was disgusting. But they're mad that A.J. Dillon is being used as much. No, you need A.J. Dillon to be used that much. I think both of those guys, I think we said it a couple shows back maybe, I said there's two or three offenses that can have two top 24 running backs. One of them was the Cowboys. We'll get there. That can no longer happen. But the Packers can, and Aaron Rodgers, can support both of them being top 24, Aaron Jones being more towards the top end, you know, top 12, and A.J. Dillon being a solid, you know, top 16, top 15 guy for sure. You know, I would definitely like to see Aaron Jones maybe used a little bit more in the passing game, which I think they're, like you said, they're still trying to figure it out. They're going to. And I think when Alan Lazard comes back and Robert Tonyan gets a little bit more involved, because he looked pretty good for coming off the ACL in his first game back, you'll see the passing game open up a little bit more out of the backfield. But the correct reactions are Aaron Jones is to be used more, which is what Matt LaFleur said. A.J. Dillon is that guy. And these wide receivers are unknowns. So I don't think we learned anything about this offense that we didn't already know.
Yeah, and like you said, we knew all this coming into the season. We knew that Aaron Rodgers has trust issues with almost every receiver on this team besides Randall Cobb. And Randall Cobb, he gets his touchdowns. But every week he's touchdown dependent. Every week. For like, what, the past 3 years?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, he's just not the same player anymore. Yeah. And I just, it's overreacting to a Green Bay offense that is still going to be borderline elite. You know, maybe they aren't elite anymore because of Devontae, but this is still a very good offense. And I'm not fading or staying away from any of them because of week one against Minnesota, a division rival, which is always a tough game to play. And we saw this last year. You know, everyone's going to say, well, Devontae was on the team. That's fine. I get that. Go look at Aaron Rodgers' stats without Devontae Adams. They aren't terrible. He's going to figure it out. As he said, best, relax.
When there's a will, there's a way. He's just got to get some big trust with his receivers.
Someone who did not have big trust with his quarterback, Tommy, was Mike Williams. Mike Williams owners are in pain on this Monday as – did he get a catch?
I'm not. I think he ended up with one.
I think he had three targets, maybe.
I am one of those owners, and I am currently in Spain. Remove the S.
And Justin Herbert said the game plan was to attack him short. They were playing soft. They didn't want to give anything up over the top. Mike Williams, we know him best as the guy that spreads the offense out, and he's the guy that takes the top off the defense. He had four targets, two catches, 10 yards. Don't worry. Keenan Allen probably misses Thursday. He has a hamstring injury. They're trying to figure out the severity of it. Even if it's mild, I would assume he's going to miss Thursday because it's just a short week, and it's early in the season. They're not going to push him to, you know, play that game. But people need to calm down. I understand. You definitely understand. You had him last year as well.
Yeah.
The concern is Mike Williams disappeared. And he was so good early last season. And then it just was not good production down the stretch, or at least spotty. You know, he had some decent games and he had bad games. But this is kind of what Mike Williams is. You know, he's kind of a boomer bust, but you would like a little bit more consistency. But don't overreact. He's going to be fine. It's week one. Don't try to move him. You're fine. You've still got if Keenan Allen is out, he's must start. He's a top 10 option for me against Kansas City. I think that's who they play next. Let me fact check that. I'm pretty sure it's Kansas City.
Thursday, it is Kansas City.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a top 10 option if Keenan Allen is out, which I'm pretty sure he will be. And even with Keenan Allen in, he's still a high end wide receiver 2, low end wide receiver 1. You know, it's week 1, people. It is what it is.
I think he had a terrible game last year against the Raiders. I only know that because it was Monday Night Football. And you know who did have a great game? Hunter Renfrow, who yes. had Hunter Renfro and was facing me? Who was it, Jordan?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That may have been the start of my comeback that year.
Yeah, yeah. But
it was week five, by the way.
Oh, week five. They all blended yeah. in after a little while for me.
Yeah, it was week five. I was 1-4, and then I didn't lose after that.
Yeah, you beat again. Me three times after.
I beat you back-to-back weeks at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's what happens when you got Kendrick Bourne, wide receiver three, baby. But we pulled at the podium. That's all that matters.
Mike Williams is fine. He'll get his chemistry back, which isn't very great. I don't think he's any chemistry lost. But it was the game plan, they said. They didn't want to attack him deep. And now with Keenan Allen out, he'll have a chance to regain some of those last lost points.
And they probably will go deep against the Chiefs.
Yes. Tommy, this one, I'll let you take this away. Tommy, there's Taysom Hill propaganda on my timeline again.
I just don't get it. I mean, the man, he's over 30 now, and he's a gadget player. He's over 30. He's not going to be booming every week. There's no reason you should waste a roster spot on Taysom Hill. He's not going to be at quarterback much. James Winston looked good. He's not going to be at running back unless Kamara does get suspended. And even then, Ingram is still a liable option for him. Why is Taysom Hill getting boom weeks, people are saying? Because he had, what, 4 runs for 88 yards and a tutty? Maybe 2?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, did you see the runs? They were long runs. That's not going to happen every week. It's against the Atlanta Falcons. Who is on the defense for the Atlanta Falcons that's going to stop him?
Nobody.
No, nobody. He was running against traffic cones out there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Literal traffic cones.
He was running the 40-yard dash.
At 32 years old. Off a read option.
I'm loving everything you're saying, Tommy, because it's absolutely true. Let's keep it real here, people. It's very simple. Taysom Hill has the greatest agent in NFL history. He's a subpar quarterback. I wouldn't even call him subpar. He's bad at quarterback. Phenomenal athlete. Subpar tight end because he really can't block, but that's the position they have to put him at. And he gets paid to run the ball 3 or 4 times a game, maybe catch a pass, maybe throw one pass. He's got the greatest job in NFL history. I don't know what position coach he has, because in practice you go with your position coaches and offensive line goes with offensive line coach, everything. Where does Taysom Hill go? I think he sits in the break room, to be honest. And he sits in the break room. He reads the playbook. He sees the 3 plays they have designed for him that week. And he knows he usually comes in, he's the quarterback, and he just has to run the ball. I don't think you need to practice that much because that's all he ever does. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's ingrained in him at this point. Get fooled.
He's with the kickers and punters playing the stock market. Yeah. I mean, let's be real.
Listen, don't be fooled, people. Taysom Hill is not a waiver wire ad. Don't waste a roster spot on him unless he becomes a starting quarterback. If he becomes a starting quarterback, you can waste a roster spot on him because even though he can't throw, he can get you 20 points just running. But that's it for the week 1 overreaction. Yeah, probably won't.
Back, baby.
Jameis Winston's eating dubs.
It was a struggle, but they got through.
That is it for the week 1 overreactions. Tommy, it's Monday. You know. After this game, we got Tuesday, Tommy. What happens on Wednesday morning?
Waiver wire day, baby. Waiver wire Wednesday.
Waiver wire Wednesday. We have some ads. We got some drops. And we have some watchlist players. Watchlist players, in my eyes, just guys that you can add right now, but I don't think you should start them right away. You should watch them for a little bit, see how their involvement grows. Tommy, I'll let you start it off. Give me one of your waiver wire ads for this week.
For me, I'll go QB first because there was a lot of underperforming QBs. Some of them broke their thumbs, sadly. I went, we just talked about him, Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston got off to a slow start, yes. But he threw 23 for 34, 269 yards, two tutties. And I think that's going to be, I think, around the same numbers all year, but a little bit improvement because I think as the weeks go on, this offense is going to look better. He's got Michael Thomas, who emerged as a great candidate, I feel like, for a wide receiver two on your team. I wouldn't put him wide receiver one just yet. We got to give him a slant boy a couple more weeks. Jarvis Landry had a solid game. He had more receiving yards than his whole career with the Cleveland Browns in just one game. And then Chris Olave was getting targets too. I mean, that right there, that's going to set Jameis Winston up with three great receivers. And then in the backfield, you got Alvin Kamara. I mean, we've seen what Kamara can do. He's great in the pass game, and he's great in the run game.
And, you know, Jameis Winston, he had a really good game in a week where Kamara didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, he scored 21.7 fantasy points and half point PPR. I guess half point PPR doesn't matter. Sorry. 4 point quarterback touchdown. And he's 51% rostered in sleeper leagues. I think he's a fine waiver wire addition. And I agree with you. If you have a Matthew Stafford and you're worried about his elbow or this offense, which you shouldn't be, that's another overreaction. Or, yes, Tommy, I am talking to you. Or if you just had Dak Prescott and you don't want to pick up Cooper Rush, you know, Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is a fine pickup. And I agree with you. You know, Kamara didn't do anything, and this guy still played well. He was still solid. I think he's a great high-end QB2, and I think if Kamara gets it going and they let Jameis become J-Bo and sling the ball a little bit more, and Michael Thomas, you know, is that wide receiver one again, he could be a QB1 for sure. Tommy, I've got another quarterback.
Let's hear it, baby.
Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is only 19% owned in sleeper leagues. Hold up. Before you turn the podcast off, listen to me. Listen to me. Let me just speak for just a second. No. Don't turn it off. I know he looked terrible behind the Colts offensive line. I know he couldn't play his last year in Philly. I know he couldn't beat Jacksonville. He beat Jacksonville. He just did it. Literally just did it. Tommy, do you know what this dude just did? He put up 27.7 fantasy points. He was 27 to 41, 313 yards, four touchdowns. He did throw two picks. That's to be expected. It's just what it is. Carson Wentz looked fine. And Tommy, I was shocked at how versatile this offense looked. You know, Curtis Samuel, people have been waiting on him for 2 years now. They said they had a role for him. They kept the role open, apparently. He stepped in and was really good. And we'll get to him in a second because I know he's one of your waiver wire guys as well. You had Curtis Samuel. Jahan Dotson looked pretty good. You had Terry McLaurin he hit on a long touchdown. Antonio Gibson got really good work. You got Brian Robinson coming back. He looked pretty good in the preseason. J.D. McKissick's out of the backfield. Logan Thomas was healthy. He looked okay. Definitely needs to shake some of the rust off. But this offense actually looked, I won't say good, but better than definitely expected. And Carson Wentz, if you're in a pinch or you just need a backup quarterback, you could do a lot worse right now than Carson Wentz.
I can't believe I'm agreeing with you on this, but yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz looked like Riverboat Ron had a great game plan. I mean, I've never seen Carson Wentz look like this, not even during his MVP season. I'm going to be honest. He impressed me.
He had a really good game, and he gets a cupcake of a schedule. He plays in a very weak division. The only way it could be weaker is if he got to play Washington himself. And I think this guy, he could surprise some people this year. Now, he's not a QB1. I'm never going to say he's a QB1. He's never going to reach that pinnacle again. But if you need a backup or you're in a two quarterback league and you're, you know, Dak Prescott share just got hurt and you don't have him, you could do a whole lot worse than Carson Wentz. Tommy, speaking of his teammate, we both had Curtis Samuel. He is currently 13% owned in sleeper leagues. Like I said, they kept the role open for him. He stepped in. I think he had 4 carries, 89 yards.
Yeah.
And he had a really good work in the receiving game. He looks like a vital part of this offense. And, you know, he comes from Ron Rivera's offense himself, and that's why they signed him. I think he's going to be a weekly flex play. I really do. I think he's definitely worth an add in all formats. That's really all I got to say. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves with involvement. This, you got to go get Curtis Samuel. If he's, and it looks like he is. He's not rostered in most sleeper leagues. I think he's rosterable in all formats. Get him as a weekly flex. Get him as a guy to come off your bench if you need him. But he's definitely a vital part of that offense, and they have a plan for him.
I mean, he had 10 targets. That was the most for the team. And yep, that was even with Dotson, who had 2 touchdowns, I believe. Yep. And then McLaurin had a touchdown himself. He and Samuel also had a touchdown. Carson Wentz spread the wealth this week. But I think what's great for Samuel, for someone who needs a player at wide receiver, he ran the ball 4 times.
Yep.
I think you're going to see him get around 5 carries a game, which that's going to help you with the rushing TDs too, because I think he's going to have some rushing TDs this season. But 10 targets. I don't remember the last time he had 10 targets.
And volume is king in fantasy. Yeah. It's to me, it's either talent. You're either talented that you're so efficient, like A.J. Brown, or you have so much volume that even if you are slightly less talented, you can still make an impact. Curtis Samuel was extremely talented as an athlete, and he got the volume. He could be a budget Deebo Samuel from last year, and it works in his favor that Antonio Gibson has fumbleitis, and we could see that flare up again. And Brian Robinson, you know, his future's kind of murky currently. You know, this is a guy that could end up being in their backfield if they need him to be, or he could just end up being the wide receiver 2 or 3 on this offense, more likely 2. He's worth a grab in all leagues.
Go get him.
And I've just got, we'll be quick about these next 2. Jaylen Warren and Jeff Wilson. Jaylen Warren is 4% owned. Jeff Wilson's 20% owned. This comes off of injuries. Elijah Mitchell is going to be out for weeks. Of course, the 49ers running back cannot stay healthy. It's a curse. Matter of fact, if you're listening to this in the future, you're some talented athlete listening to this, and you're named the 49ers starting running back for week 1. Retire. It's guaranteed you're going to lose a kneecap or something. It's cursed. Kyle Shanahan he has to sacrifice 3 running backs a year to keep the hat on. That's what the league has told him. He's already sacrificed the first one. Jeff Wilson, 20% owned. Go get him. He's going to be the guy. Speculative ad, watch list guy could be Jordan Mason. TDP was inactive, so that tells me Jordan Mason is the 3rd guy. So you could probably go ahead and add both of them. And then Jaylen Warren, they said Najee's injury wasn't a big thing. Still a foot injury. We don't know. Just add Jaylen Warren if Najee Harris misses a week or 2 weeks or whatever. You got a starting running back. He only got 3 carries, so we really didn't see much of him, but he'll get the work if Najee's out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said everything, Warren. I think, like you said, Najee may miss time. I don't even know if it's significant or not. I have him in fantasy, sadly. It's like every player we're talking about today. but it's definitely worth a grab. And 49ers RB, I just stay away from in general now, unless it's you want to call Deebo Samuel a running back. I'm sorry, but I can't take the liabilities anymore.
I've got one more before we get to our drop candidates and our watch list players. Tommy, I'm going to give you some stats. You can tell me who you think it is. He's on the waiver wire. He's only 15% owned. He's kind of old. He's 32. He played 49 snaps, 72% of his team's total snaps. He had 19 touches for 70 yards. a man who was extremely hyped up this year, had 19 snaps, 28% of his team's total snaps, 12 touches for 39 yards. He was his backup. Tommy, who do you think I'm talking about?
He's
a running back.
Is it Henderson? Darrell Henderson?
No. It is Rex Burkhead. Sexy Rex gets 72% of the snaps, 19 touches for 70 yards. Damian Pierce apparently is not very good in pass pro or needs to work on his pass pro. They put Sexy Rexy out there a lot. I know it's not a sexy pickup, but like I said, it's volume or talent. And if Rex Burkhead is going to be getting 19, 20 touches a game, he could end up being a low-end RB2 or at least a flex play at worst. Go pick him up. If you're in a deeper league format, 12, 14, 16-team league, even though he's probably already rostered in that. But yeah, the Damian Pierce hype train has been derailed.
For now.
Well, I won't say derailed. They're in the station. They just made it stop. They're letting more people get on the train. They just had a quick stop. Hopefully he'll take over this backfield by the end of the season. But it looks like early that Rex Burkhead may be the slight leader in that clubhouse. And
I mean, he's gotten volume everywhere he goes. I think with General Mills at QB, we might see a little bit more of Sexy Rexy.
Who looked pretty decent. Yeah. Houston, you know, played the Colts extremely tough, even though the Colts did what they're good at doing, and that's playing down to the other team's level. Getting into our watch list players, this is two of your guys on here. Get Robbie Anderson, who's 17% owned, and O.J. Howard, who's 3% owned. I'll let you talk about O.J. Howard. I'll start with Robbie Anderson. He had 8 targets, 5 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. He did most of his damage on a 75-yard catch from Baker Mayfield. He's worth adding for sure in all formats. I would not start him. Go ahead and add him. See how the DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey chemistry develops with Baker Mayfield. See what they're doing. But if it's looking like, because let's not forget people, last year it was awful. He was horrible. He wasn't playable. The year before that, Robbie Anderson was a very solid fantasy option and was the wide receiver one on that team pretty much. So this could happen again, you know. Robbie Anderson is not a bad wide receiver by any means. And maybe Baker Mayfield just has better chemistry with him. He does with DJ Moore. So add him, keep him on your bench this week. Play him if you absolutely have to. But he's worth an add.
Yeah, I mean, I think what helps him is he's the deep threat on that team. And yeah. I know Baker doesn't air the ball out a lot. But if they're going to blow the coverage, he's able to throw the ball downfield. And you talked about O.J. Howard. You know, he had 2 touchdowns yesterday. I know he only played 12 snaps. But who else is there for tight end in Houston that's going to outplay O.J. Howard every week? O.J. Howard came in the league and was a solid tight end with the Buccaneers. He tore his Achilles, and Tom Brady came to town, and Gronk came with him. I mean, he wasn't going to beat out Gronk as the tight end on that team. But with a team like Houston, who their other receiver options are Brandon Cook to Nico Collins, he's going to get some targets there. Give it time. He's developed good chemistry, I think, with Davis Mills already, and I think he could be a security blanket for him.
Yeah, and O.J. Howard, he's always had the pedigree and the talent. It's kind of been situations where he just hadn't been putting the best game plans to really utilize him. But it's Brevin Jordan. It's really the only other option there in Houston. So he's definitely got a chance to be the tight end there. And, you know, if he's going to end up being a red zone threat and a security blanket for Davis Mills, we could see some pretty decent fantasy production out of O.J. Howard. I have one more guy, Devin Duvernay, who people are going to be scampering to go get because he looked like Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
But Devin Duvernay only participated in 51% of the total routes run in that game by Baltimore receivers. Only had a 14% target share. He's worth an add. Don't start him. Mark Andrews still led the team in targets. Rashad Bateman led the team in receiving yards, even though he only had 2 catches. Devin Duvernay is fine. You know, he looks like he's going to be the deep threat on the team. But he's not Marquise Brown. Don't go looking for the two touchdowns. It's probably going to be his season high, let's be honest. He's worth an add. If he continues to get more playing time, and he is the wide receiver two or three on this roster and is locked in, he may be a decent pickup. So he's worth picking up right now. Just see what happens. But don't overspend on him. Don't waste a priority or an insane amount of your fab, or even more than maybe 2, 3, 4% of your fab. But getting to the drops, Tommy. Mike Davis, we'll do these quick. I'm not going to talk about these players much. Mike Davis only had 2 total touches. J.K. Dobbins is coming back. Gus Edwards is coming back. With Lamar Jackson being Lamar Jackson, I don't see any value in having Mike Davis on your roster. And Kenyon Drake already took his job pretty much. Then we have Jalen Tolbert, who was inactive. And we were talking about this off camera. Tommy, they needed receivers.
Badly.
Desperately.
Yeah.
In that game against Tampa. And Jalen Tolbert was inactive. Wasn't injured. Was declared inactive. That tells me that in practice, he's not doing what the coaching staff wants to see. And he's not as good as we thought. He's not. If you're inactive, and a team needed wide receivers as badly as Dallas needed wide receivers, you can't get on the field after they just spent some draft capital on you. He's not going to be fantasy relevant, barring something very dramatic.
I mean, he had a great shot to become the wide receiver two for multiple weeks for this team. You know,
yeah.
James Washington is out, I believe, for the first 4 or 5 weeks. Michael Gallup is still hurt and coming off a knee injury. You don't know how he's going to look. Yeah, he's looked great in the past, but it's a knee injury. You never know. CeeDee Lamb, he was a target hog last night, but couldn't catch the ball. Or, more importantly, he had balls thrown to him that were uncatchable most of the game. This is his chance to step up, and like you said, he must be not doing anything at practice to where like they're like, all right, don't even suit up.
Yeah, and I mean, it hits the nail on the head. You can't roster him if he's going to be inactive. And then Zamir White, he was 35% rostered. He had 0 offensive snaps. And Josh Jacobs didn't get as much volume as usual. He was efficient, 10 for 57, I believe. He had Brandon Bolden and Amir Abdullah and just a bunch of characters in that backfield, and Zamir White got none of the playing time. So I think that's a safe drop. Stop wasting a roster spot on him, unless you're just in an insanely deep league. But those are my 3 drop candidates. Those were our ads. Those were our watch list players. Do you have anything else? Any other waiver wire ads, drops?
I don't have any from me.
All right. Tommy, we're going to start a new segment here today. I have this idea, calling it the Fantasy Football 2-Minute Drill. Tommy, much like an offense in the NFL, we get into the 2-Minute Drill. We want to go with some up-tempo, but we want to keep the ball safe. We want to get a score, Tommy. So these are going to be rapid-fire reactions. We'll change this up every week. But the reactions this week, our top performers and underperformers. Tommy, I want you to give me some reasons why these guys will continue to underperform, while they'll bounce back, or why the top performers will continue to be the top performers, or why you should temper expectations. Got it?
Works for me.
Tommy, let's start. Thursday night, Allen Robinson broke a lot of people's hearts. It was expected that he would be a good wide receiver too for fantasy football going with Matthew Stafford. He wasn't. Why he's my top underperformer on the week, why should people stay away from him, or why should people believe that he can bounce back?
I got the feeling he's going to bounce back just because I don't think you're going to see many games like it was against the Buffalo Bills. I know the offensive line has problems, but Sean McVay is a great coach. As much as we give him a lot of crap because, you know, Kyle Shanahan is his father, Allen Robinson's going to get involved. Cooper Kupp, I think teams are going to game plan to that right after week 1. Oh, Cooper Kupp's going to get all the targets. I mean,
again,
how many times a week can he do that for 2 years in a row? So I think it's a little bit too early to give up on Allen Robinson. I think there's still some time left.
And they play Atlanta, who, I mean, they got nothing. It's AJ Terrell and a bunch of bums. So the alarm for me is very low.
Yeah.
This is negligible. It's a week one underperformance. Come back after Atlanta series. If it happens like this again, we'll have some different conversations. But like you said, right now it's too early. I believe as well he'll bounce back. Tommy, I'll give you the top performer right now. Justin Jefferson. Why should people continue to believe that Justin Jefferson is going to be the wide receiver one, or should we temper expectations?
I mean, I think him and Cooper Kupp are wide receiver one and wide receiver two. We've seen what Justin Jefferson can do. He's been doing it for years. But with this new coaching staff, I think he can thrive, and I think it's shown. I mean, he went up against Jair Alexander, who's a solid corner. You're like, he's a great corner in our league, although he gets hurt and there are his moments. But Justin Jefferson had more yardage than all of Green Bay did at one point. Kirk Cousins, I think, is getting somewhat more of a connection with him. We've seen Kirk Cousins be a terrible quarterback. We've seen him be a great quarterback. With this coaching staff, it's going to be more great weeks, which means it's going to be more great weeks for Justin Jefferson.
I totally agree. You know, I'm biased, of course. I own him. But, yeah, I mean, I said he's thrown for over 5,000 yards. I would have liked to see a little bit more yardage from Kirk Cousins. I mean, most of it just went to Justin Jefferson. But, you know, great start to the season for both of them. Tommy, I'll give you the underperforming running back, Aaron Jones. We just talked about him a little bit. What's up with Aaron Jones?
We got pumped the brakes, like we said. It's 1 week. LaFleur already knows I need to get him more involved. Let's not forget, Minnesota has a good defense. Minnesota went out and got Za'Darius Smith, who went against Aaron Jones for 2 or 3 years in practice. I think he's going to get more rushing attempts. He's going to get some touchdowns. And like you said, if the wide receivers aren't going to do what they need to do, he'll be in the pass game.
So you see a bounce back from Aaron Jones. I also see the bounce back. I think he's a locked and loaded mid-low RB1. I don't think it changed. Yeah. And the top performer, Tommy, he's back in my eyes. It was a beautiful sight. Late slate Sunday, afternoon slate, Saquon Barkley told the New York Giants to get on his back, and he carried them to victory against a very stout run defense in the Tennessee Titans. What should people think about Saquon Barkley?
I think with health, he is going to be great if healthy. If he's not, then it's just going to be another Saquon season. But he looks good in this offense, with the only viable option for Daniel Jones and Dabble. I don't know how many targets he's going to get every week, but I think it's going to be a little bit similar. I think this is a running back who was a big question mark coming into the year.
Yeah.
I think the question's not fully answered, but it's half answered right now.
It's a hell of an opening statement.
Yeah. The thesis statement is done with. I'll leave it at that. The rest of the essay needs to be filled out. Just a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. We need to see Saquon stay healthy, but he did it against a good defense. And if he stays healthy, I'll put him in the top 10 for the rest of the season. I'm willing to bet that he could finish top 5 if fully healthy and they're going to continue to use him like this. It's pretty shocking how bad their weapons are outside of him. And a guy like Kadarius Toney can't see the field for whatever reason. I'm not going to speculate, whether it be personal or whatever. He just can't see the field. But like you said, if he stays healthy, it looks to be a very good season for Saquon Barkley owners. Tommy, that's it. You killed it. I would say you got in the end zone. I think the 2-minute drill was ran to perfection. We definitely didn't miss the field goal if we did have to take one or miss the extra point, and we definitely didn't tie the Houston Texans. We got one. Go ahead.
This is what happens when you watch Tom Brady week after week.
Oh, 2 minutes. Excellent.
I mean, yes. I mean, I looked over the film, unlike Kyler Murray. I'm not a big double XP weekend guy. I'm not a big Call of Duty guy. But, it happens.
We got one more thing to do before we sign off. We do have a football game tonight, Tommy.
Oh, boy.
It's the Monday night football preview. Russell Wilson is taking on his former team, the Seattle Seahawks. What are you looking for tonight, Tommy, fantasy football-wise?
If I'm Russell Wilson owners, I'm looking for 4 touchdowns. They got Blitz Boy out there for defense. That's about it. Bobby Wagner's gone. So it's like we said about the Giants. Tear everything down. They got no corners. Cortland Sutton could have a big game. I think Jerry Jeudy could have a big game. There's no run defense. If you have anyone on Denver, it's a must start. I think for Seattle-wise, DK Metcalf will probably have, I don't want to say a good game, but there's a chance it's a solid game.
You hope he gets blown out by 40 and he catches a garbage time touchdown.
Rashad Penny owners, just hope that he stays on the field the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Rashad Penny, you've locked him into a flex spot. You got to start him. If he gets his 20 carries, he should put in a decent performance. I'm with you, Tommy. I'm locking everybody in on Denver. They're must starts in this game for me. What I'm looking for personally is how Russ is with his receivers. I'm looking for who's that one. I believe it's going to be Cortland Sutton, but tonight I'll get my questions answered if it's him or Jeudy. And also, KJ Hamler's active. We'll see how much value he could provide. Who knows? You know, this offense, it's his best offensive line he's played behind. He's ever. Got an offensive head. I won't say ever. But he's got Nathaniel Hackett, who's coming from a good Green Bay offense. He's got 2 really good running backs. And he's got a really good receiving core still. And he's got a decent defense behind him. This could be a very explosive offense. You could see some down ballot MVP votes coming Russell's way, and it all starts tonight. So I'm looking for Cortland Sutton. I'm looking for Jeudy, Albert O, KJ Hamler. I'm looking for all the offensive pass catchers, all the weapons in the passing game, what they look like for Russell Wilson, and how deep I can go on the depth chart for value on this team. Because if it's just going to be the top 2, that's kind of a normal offense. If I can get the tight end, the wide receiver 3, you know, we're looking at an elite fantasy offense. And on Seattle side, I'm locked in with Rashad Penny, and I'm hoping for some garbage time points from Tyler Lockett and DK.
Tyler Lockett owners, I'm sorry that you're Tyler Lockett owners. I mean, the boom weeks are not there anymore. I don't want to say bust weeks every week if they're the same every week. I'm not expecting much out of him this season. DK Metcalf, on the other hand, we'll wait and see. Other than that, in Seattle, I don't want to touch anything there. Maybe Rashad Penny.
Yeah, Pete Carroll is going to establish the run. The run will be established, damn it. So we are going to see if Rashad Penny is for real or if he was a mirage, just a figment of our imagination, him staying healthy last year down the stretch. That'll do it, Tommy. That's the Monday Night Football preview. Just something quick, you know, what we're looking for. That's all I've got for you. You got anything you want to add, talk about? I mean, I'm an open book. We can talk about anything.
I don't think there's enough time for that, and I don't think you're a licensed therapist, so I don't want to put you through that pain after what I witnessed week 1. But all jokes aside, it is week 1. Glad to be back. But if your team lost, like mine, sadly, and scored the least amount of points in the AFC East, it's week 1. That's it. It's over and done with most part. You're on to week 2. You're on to week 2. All right.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Hopefully. I mean, I saw what that offensive line did. I want to play Cincinnati every week, maybe. Fantasy football owners, It's week one. Don't overreact. Don't underreact either, though.
Yes. Don't overreact. Don't underreact. It is the appropriate time to react to the information that you are given.
Yes.
But you should not be blowing it up. You should not be unloading everybody. Now, if you have Dak or the Cowboys, your season's over. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. You're done. You got more than two Cowboys on your roster? I'm sorry. It's just done. Go ahead and delete the fantasy apps. Delete the fantasy apps. Get it over with. You know, it's going to be a long season.
I mean, look, we just made a trade before this show.
We're not doing League of Record conversations, Tommy. That is private conversations. We're not letting the
viewers. We can't announce that we made a trade. That's it.
We made a trade.
Yeah,
we made a trade.
You don't want to talk about the trade?
No, like, I don't want to talk about the trade. No, right. I don't want to talk about the trade. Who it was? We made a trade. It was good business
for you, probably not for me. You know how. You know what happens when I trade with you?
We'll see you. I'll give you a money-back guarantee.
I got that with Julio Jones, and I didn't get anything back because he didn't see the field. All
right, now we're getting personal. All right, this episode is over. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to your mama's favorite fantasy show, the Armchair GMs. Tommy, thank you for being a great co-host, as per usual.
Thank you for having me. It's always a blast with you.
That's it. You know, we'll see you next week, same time, hopefully. Peace.
Have a good one.